Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have come to it. Today begins the Holy Triduum, the sacred three-day service, all held together as one service. From Maundy Thursday through Good Friday and Holy Saturday, culminating in the great vigil of Easter once the sun sets on Saturday, we are gathering over and over and over again to hear of our Lord, of what he has done to finally destroy death, the devil, and our sinful nature. We are remembering his Passover from death to life. It is fitting that our Old Testament lesson tonight is the beginning of the Passover, when God institutes it. This is the 10th plague that he brings upon Egypt in order for them to finally let his people go, to deliver them from their bondage, to go out into the wilderness that they might worship him. This is the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. But God gives his people a way out of that death. He gives them a way out by the blood of a lamb. And so God gives very specific details of what each household is to do with that lamb. It's a bit gory, it's a bit gross, but yet this is what God had instituted. This lamb would be slain, and his blood would then be put on the doorposts, so that when the angel of death came to that household, it would pass over them, that they might live. That Passover was a type. It was a foreshadowing of what Christ would do. Jesus is the final Passover lamb. He is the final Passover feast. We as Christians do not gather to continue this Passover meal. Rather, we have something better. We have something more important, more sure. We have its fulfillment because we have his supper. Christ is our Passover lamb. He has fulfilled the Passover ceremonies that pointed to him. His bones were not broken. He was roasted for the wrath of the Father. He was among his people, though they knew him not, and his blood causes the wrath of God to pass us over. He has been sacrificed to deliver us from our bondage, not to slavery of the Egyptians, but rather the slavery of our sinful nature, our slavery under the devil, our slavery to death and hell. Moreover, he has instituted a distinctive remembrance of that event, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar. It goes by many names. We might only hasten to add that unlike the Passover, which was a meaningful but symbolic meal, our Lord Jesus has brought true substance. He has instituted the ceremonies around his supper. The divine service that we as the Lutheran Church celebrate this very night is the real deal. We have the true bodily presence of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, in his supper. As it is the word is that makes it so, not the narrative asked at many Jewish seders, what makes this night different than all the rest, that convinces us to believe and confess this. We have something far better than that Seder meal, that Passover meal. We have the Lord's Supper. And it does something even better for us. Not only will the angel of death pass over that single time, but now we receive that lamb for the forgiveness of our sins, for the cleansing of our souls. We fail God day in and day out. We sin against him in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. It's in our very nature because of Adam's fall, a sin that now infects all of us. That's a reality. But another reality is true. Jesus Christ is with us. The Passover Lamb has decided to be with us this very night. And because he is bodily in this bread and in this wine, it is important that we confess our sins, that we approach his table worthily, that we love one another, not backbiting or trying to tear one another down, but loving one another. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to kick off our shoes and I'm going to sit up here and wash all your feet. I trust that you bathe, and when you bathe, you wash your feet. So we're not going to do that. But we're going to do something even better. We're going to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. This is love. Not that we love first, but that he first loved us. He gave himself for us. The importance of coming with a repentant heart, the importance of not living in open, unrepentant sin, is evident in what St. Paul writes to us that we read this night. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. These words, a variation of them, should sound so familiar to you because you hear them proclaimed to you week after week after week. These are the very words of Jesus, echoed once again this night. We do not re-sacrifice Christ. Rather, we remember his sacrifice once for all on the cross. A single action from the institution of his supper to his death, to his rest, and to his ultimate resurrection is remembered. So he takes the bread. He gives thanks. He breaks it and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This is my body. This is my blood. By receiving it, I forgive your sins, Jesus tells us. That is more sure than any Old Testament feast or any feast that anybody might be celebrating out there today. This is the feast of the Lord's Supper. St. Paul goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." The Lutheran confession about what we receive tonight is the true scriptural confession. Not because Martin Luther said it, but because Jesus said it. And St. Paul is in full agreement with Jesus. This bread that we break, it is a participation in the body of Jesus. The cup that we bless, it is in a participation, a communion with the blood of Jesus. You will taste, you will smell, and it will seem just like regular bread and regular wine. But it is so much more. And because it is so much more, because it is not a symbol, but is the true body and blood of Jesus, because Jesus says is, we take this extremely seriously. We do not throw it out. We do not cast pearls before swine. We do not dole it out and expect you to go home with it and take it to yourself. Rather, we gather as his disciples gathered and as the church gathered for over 2,000 years, gathered in the midst of death and disease to come and receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Even if it meant their death, they still gathered. And so do we. And so will we. But it is important that we come with a repentant heart. Because St. Paul points out the fact that some people are actually sick. Some people have died because they have received the body and blood of Jesus without repenting. And by receiving it, they still receive his body and blood. But rather than to their benefit, as we do who come with a repentant heart, rather they receive it to their judgment. The King James translates that word condemnation. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is why we live differently than the world. This is why we enter into the bonds of holy matrimony before we live with a person. Before we enter into the marriage bed, we enter that covenant that God has created in the Old Testament. In the garden of his creation, God sets up marriage. This is why we turn from our sins. This is why we hear the law of God and are cut to our heart, that we may approach his table in repentance, in confession, so that we receive it to our blessing. And so this night, I want to go through those Christian questions and their answers that Luther sets up in his small catechism. Christian questions and answers that we go through every year before children receive the body and blood of Jesus for the first time, but perhaps has been many years since you've gone through it yourself. So I will read these questions. I want you to meditate on them this very night. So Luther writes, after confession and instruction in the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the pastor may ask, or Christians may ask themselves these questions, question that I want you to ask yourself tonight before you come and receive his body and blood. Do you believe that you are a sinner? How do you know this? Are you sorry for your sins? What have you deserved from God because of your sins? Do you hope to be saved? In whom then do you trust? Who is Christ? How many gods are there? What has Christ done for you that you trust in him? Did the Father also die for you? How do you know this? What are the words of institution? Those are words that should be in every Christian's heart. That when the pastor proclaims them, these are words that we know fully and completely because these are the words of Christ. Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament? What convinces you to believe this? What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood and in this way receive his pledge? Why should we remember and proclaim his death? What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins? Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament? What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently? But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? I'm going to close the sermon with what Luther writes here. He writes, to such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe that the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15-16 and in 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2. Tonight, I hope you were able to answer all those questions for yourself, based on your understanding of the scriptures and Lutheran doctrine, based on your faith that Jesus is with us this very night, and that he has given us his body and blood to eat and to drink, to proclaim his death until his return. The church sings. O Lord, we praise thee, bless thee, and adore thee, in thanksgiving bow before thee. Thou with thy body and thy blood didst nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. O Lord, have mercy. May thy body, Lord, born of Mary, that our sins and sorrows did carry, and thy blood for us plead in all trial, fear, and need. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.